that project were justified. For the government and mandarins of the military-industrial complex, this absurd narrative yielded trillions in appropriations. Social distancing mandates also rested on a dubious scientific footing. In September 2021, former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb admitted that the 6-foot distancing rule that Dr. Fauci and his HHS colleagues imposed upon Americans was arbitrary and not, after all, science-backed. The process for making that policy choice, Gottlieb continued, is a perfect example of the lack of rigor around how CDC made recommendations. Finally, the lockdowns of the healthy were so unprecedented that WHO's official pandemic protocols recommended against them. Some WHO officials were passionate on the topic. Among them, Professor David Nabarro, senior envoy on COVID-19, a position reporting to the Director General. On October 8, 2020, he said, "We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of controlling this virus. We may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We'll have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly, global catastrophe, actually, and so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer." As discussed, Dr. Fauci and other officials made no inquiry or claims as to whether lockdowns would cause more harm and death than they averted. Subsequent studies have strongly suggested that lockdowns had no impact in reducing infection rates. There is no convincing difference in COVID infections and deaths between laissez-faire jurisdictions and those that enforced rigid lockdowns and masks. Noble lies and bad data. Dr. Fauci's mask deceptions were among several noble lies that his critics complained reveal a manipulative and deceptive disposition, undesirable in an even-handed public health official. Dr. Fauci explained to the New York Times that he had upgraded his estimate of the vaccine coverage needed to ensure herd immunity from 70% in March to 80 to 90% in September, not based on science, but rather in response to polling that indicated rising rates of vaccine acceptance. He regularly expressed his belief that post-infection immunity was highly likely, with occasional waffling on this topic, although he took the public position that natural immunity did not contribute to protecting the population. He supported COVID jabs for previously infected Americans, defying overwhelming scientific evidence that post-COVID inoculations were both unnecessary and dangerous. Under questioning on September 9, 2021, Dr. Fauci conceded he could cite no scientific justification for this policy. In September 2021, in a statement justifying COVID vaccine mandates to school children, Dr. Fauci dreamily recounted his own grade school measles and mumps vaccines, an unlikely memory since those vaccines weren't available until 1963 and 1967, and Dr. Fauci attended grade school in the 1940s. Dr. Fauci's little perjuries about masks, measles, mumps, herd immunity, and natural immunity attest to his dismaying willingness to manipulate facts to serve a political agenda. If the COVID-19 pandemic has revealed anything, it is that public health officials have based their many calamitous directives for managing COVID-19 on vacillating and science-free beliefs about masks, lockdowns, infection, and fatality rates, asymptomatic transmission, and vaccine safety and efficacy, which took every direction and sowed confusion, division, and polarization among the public and medical experts. Dr. Fauci's libertine approach to facts may have contributed to what, for me, was the most troubling and infuriating feature of all the public health responses to COVID: the blatant and relentless manipulation of data to serve the vaccine agenda became the apogee of a year of stunning regulatory malpractice. High quality and transparent data, clearly documented, timely rendered, and publicly available, are the sine qua non of competent public health management. During a pandemic, reliable and comprehensive data are critical for determining the behavior of the pathogen, identifying vulnerable populations, rapidly measuring the effectiveness of interventions, mobilizing the medical community around cutting-edge disease management, and inspiring cooperation from the public. The shockingly low quality of virtually all relevant data pertinent to COVID-19, and the quackery, the obfuscation, the cherry-picking and blatant perversion would have scandalized, offended, and humiliated every prior generation of American public health officials. Too often, Dr. Fauci was at the center of these systemic deceptions. The mistakes were always in the same direction: inflating the risks of coronavirus and the safety and efficacy of vaccines in order to stoke public fear of COVID and provoke mass compliance. The excuses for his mistakes range from blaming the public, now blaming the unvaccinated, blaming politics, and explaining his gyrations by saying, "You've got to evolve with the science." At the outset of the pandemic, Dr. Fauci used wildly inaccurate modeling that overestimated U.S. deaths by 525%. Scammer and pandemic fabricator Neil Ferguson of Imperial College London was their author, with funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation of $148.8 million. Dr. Fauci used this model as justification for his lockdowns. Dr. Fauci acquiesced to CDC's selective protocol changes for completing death certificates in a way that inflated the claimed deaths from COVID and thus inflated its infection mortality rate. CDC later admitted that only 6% of COVID deaths occurred in entirely healthy individuals. The remaining 94% suffered from an average of 3.8 potentially fatal comorbidities. Regulators misused PCR tests that CDC belatedly admitted in August 2021 were incapable of distinguishing COVID from other viral illnesses. Dr. Fauci tolerated their use at inappropriately high amplitudes of 37 and up to 45, even though Fauci had told Vince Roccaniello that tests employing cycle thresholds of 35 and above were very unlikely to indicate the presence of live virus that could replicate. In July 2020, Fauci remarked that at these levels, a positive result is just dead nucleotides, period, yet did nothing to modify testing so it might be more accurate. As America's COVID czar, Dr. Fauci never complained about CDC's decision to skip autopsies from deaths attributed to vaccines. This practice allowed CDC to persistently claim that all deaths following vaccination were unrelated to vaccination. CDC also refused to conduct follow-up medical inquiries among people claiming vaccine injuries. Inspired by rich incentives to classify every patient as a COVID-19 victim, Medicare paid hospitals $39,000 per ventilator when treating COVID-19. And only $13,000 for garden variety respiratory infections. Hospitals contributed to the deception. Once more, Dr. Fauci winked at the fraud. Dr. Fauci's refusal to fix the HHS's notoriously dysfunctional Vaccine Injury Surveillance System, VAERS, constituted inexcusable negligence. HHS's own studies indicate that VAERS may be understating vaccine injuries by over 99%. The public never received facts about infection fatality rates or age-stratified risks for COVID with the kind of clarity that might have allowed them and their physicians to make evidence-based personal risk assessments. Instead, federal officials relied on vagueness and deception to recklessly overestimate the dangers from COVID in every age group. All of these deceptions riddled virtually every mainstream media report, particularly those by CNN and the New York Times, leaving the public with a vastly inflated and cataclysmically inaccurate impression of its lethality. Public surveys showed that just as Fox News audiences were shockingly misinformed following the 9/11 bombings, CNN viewers and New York Times readers were catastrophically misinformed about the facts of COVID-19 during 2020. Successive Gallup polling showed that the average Democrat believed that 50% of COVID infections resulted in hospitalizations. The real number was less than 1%. Trust the experts. Instead of demanding blue ribbon safety science and encouraging honest, open, and responsible debate on the science, badly compromised government health officials charged with managing the COVID-19 pandemic collaborated with mainstream and social media to shut down discussion on key public health questions. They silenced doctors who offered any early treatments that might compete with vaccines or who refused to pledge unquestioning faith in zero liability, shoddily tested experimental vaccines. The chaotic and confusing data collection and interpretation allowed regulators to justify their arbitrary diktats under the cloak of scientific consensus. Instead of citing scientific studies or clear data to justify mandates for masks, lockdowns, and vaccines, our medical rulers cited Dr. Fauci or WHO, CDC, FDA, and NIH, captive agencies, to legitimize the medical technocracy's assumption of dangerous new powers. Dr. Fauci's aficionados, including President Biden and the cable and network news anchors, counseled Americans to trust the experts. Such advice is both anti-democratic and anti-science. Science is dynamic. Experts frequently differ on scientific questions, and their opinions can vary in accordance with and demands of politics, powers, and financial self-interest. Nearly every lawsuit I have ever litigated pitted highly credentialed experts from opposite sides against each other, with all of them swearing under oath to diametrically antithetical positions based on the same set of facts. Telling people to trust the experts is either naive or manipulative, or both. All of Dr. Fauci's intrusive mandates and his deceptive use of data tended to stoke fear and amplify public desperation for the anticipated arrival of vaccines that would transfer billions of dollars from taxpayers to pharmaceutical executives and shareholders. Some of America's most accomplished scientists, and the physicians leading the battle against COVID in the trenches, came to believe that Anthony Fauci's do-or-die obsession with novel mRNA vaccines and Gilead's expensive patented antiviral remdesivir prompted him to ignore or even suppress effective early treatments, causing hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths while also prolonging the pandemic. Fortifying immune systems. I was struck during COVID-19's early months that America's doctor, apparently preoccupied with his single vaccine solution, did little in the way of telling Americans how to bolster their immune response. He never took time during his daily White House briefings from March to May 2020 to instruct Americans to avoid tobacco. Smoking and e-cigarettes, vaping, double death rates from COVID. To get plenty of sunlight and to maintain adequate vitamin D levels. Nearly 60% of patients with COVID-19 were vitamin D deficient upon hospitalization, with men in the advanced stages of COVID-19 pneumonia showing the greatest deficit. Or to diet, exercise, and lose weight. 78% of Americans hospitalized for COVID-19 were overweight or obese. Quite the contrary, Dr. Fauci's lockdowns caused Americans to gain an average of 2 pounds per month and to reduce their daily steps by 27%. He didn't recommend avoiding sugar and soft drinks, processed foods, and chemical residues, all of which amplify inflammation, compromise immune response, and disrupt the gut biome, which governs the immune system. During the centuries that science has fruitlessly sought remedies against coronavirus, aka the common cold, only zinc has repeatedly proven its efficacy in peer-reviewed studies. Zinc impedes viral replication, prophylaxing against colds and abbreviating their duration. The groaning shelves that commercial pharmacies devote to zinc-based cold remedies attest to its extraordinary efficacy. Yet Anthony Fauci never advised Americans to increase zinc uptake following exposure to infection. Dr. Fauci's neglect of natural immune response was consistent with the pervasive hostility towards any non-vaccine intervention that characterized the federal regulatory gestalt. On April 30, 2021, Canadian Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons threatened to de-license any doctor who prescribed non-vaccine health strategies, including vitamin D. They are trying to erase any notion of natural immunity, says Canadian vaccine researcher Dr. Jessica Rose, PhD, MSc, BSc. Pretty soon, the incessant lies and propaganda will have successfully instilled in the masses that the only hope for staying alive is via injection, pill popping, so in sum, no natural immunity. In a podcast interview on October 1st, 2021, Washington Post reporter Ashley Fetters Malloy pretended to expose misinformation about COVID-19 by broadcasting misinformation. There's a pervasive idea that your body and your immune system can be healthy enough to ward off COVID-19, which, of course, we know it's a novel coronavirus. No one's body can. No one's body is healthy enough to recognize and just totally ward this off without a vaccine. Clearly, this is false information. Throughout 2020, before vaccines were available, some 99.9% of people's natural immune systems protected their owners from severe illness and death. The CDC and World Health Organization, indeed all global health authorities, have recognized that healthy people with healthy immune systems bear minimal risk from COVID. Indeed, many people, according to our health authorities, have an immune response sufficient that they don't even know they have COVID. Malloy's pronouncement that humans cannot fight off COVID-19 without a vaccine is misinformation in its purest form. Instead of urging calm and telling us, as FDR did during the depths of the Depression, that we have nothing to fear but fear itself, all of Dr. Fauci's prescriptions and communications seemed intended to maximize stress and trauma. Enforced isolation, mandated masking, business closures, evictions and bankruptcies, lockdowns, and separating children from parents and parents from grandparents. We now know that fear, stress, and trauma wreak havoc on our immune systems. Early treatment. His critics argue that Dr. Fauci's slow the spread, flatten the curve, wait for the jab strategy, all in support of a long-term bet on unproven vaccines, represented a profound and unprecedented departure from accepted public health practice. But most troubling were Dr. Fauci's policies of ignoring and outright suppressing the early treatment of infected patients who were often terrified. The best practices for defeating an infectious disease epidemic, says Yale epidemiologist Harvey Riesch, dictate that you quarantine and treat the sick, protect the most vulnerable, and aggressively develop repurposed therapeutic drugs, and use early treatment protocols to avoid hospitalizations. Riesch is one of the leading global authorities in clinical treatment protocols. He is the editor of two high-gravitas journals and the author of over 350 peer-reviewed publications. Other researchers have cited those studies over 44,000 times. Riesch points out a hard truth that should have informed our COVID control strategy. Unless you are an island nation prepared to shut out the world, you can't stop a global viral pandemic, but you can make it less deadly. Our objective should have been to devise treatments that would reduce hospitalization and death. We could have easily defanged COVID-19 so that it was less lethal than a seasonal flu. We could have done this very quickly. We could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Dr. Peter McCullough concurs. Once a highly transmissible virus like COVID has a beachhead in a population, it is inevitable that it will spread to every individual who lacks immunity. You can slow the spread, but you cannot prevent it, any more than you can prevent the tide from rising. McCullough was an internist and cardiologist on staff at the Baylor University Medical Center and the Baylor Heart and Vascular Hospital in Dallas, Texas. His 600 peer-reviewed articles in the National Library of Medicine make McCullough the most published physician in history in the field of kidney disease related to heart disease, a lethal sequela of COVID-19. Before COVID-19, he was editor of two major journals. His recent publications include over 40 on COVID-19, including two landmark studies on critical care of the disease. His two breakthrough papers on the early treatment of COVID-19 in the American Journal of Medicine and reviews in cardiovascular medicine in 2020